Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. Today's topic is one I talk about constantly with clients and workshops, in my own head, with friends. And it's the myth that if we just managed our time better, everything would be fine. So how many times have you told yourself, I just need to be more disciplined? I have the same 24 hours as everyone else. I should be able to do this. But here's what I really want to offer you. Time is not the problem. The system is. And when the system doesn't fit your brain, your body, or your reality, all the planners and all the organizing, all the time management skills in the world are not going to help. So let's start with what we're taught about time. So especially if you're someone who grew up in school systems that rewarded neatness, punctuality, and productivity over process, presence, or actual learning style. From a young age, most of us absorb the idea that time should be linear, productive, and controllable. And if you struggle with that, you're seen as disorganized, unmotivated, or behind. This is really painful for neurodivergent folks because time doesn't always show up the way we thought it should. You might lose track of time completely until it's way too late. You feel it rushing by but can't seem to catch it. Or you're paralyzed by too many tasks and freeze. That's not laziness. That's executive dysfunction, time blindness, and or cognitive overload. But instead of support, what we're given is just use a planner. Do you use a calendar? And I love a good planner. But you know what I've learned? No system works if it's built on a schedule that doesn't reflect your life. So here's a common thing that I see. Someone buys a beautiful planner and fills it with to-dos for every hour of the day. They feel hopeful, even excited. But by day three, that plan is already off the rails. There's guilt. And the planner ends up in a drawer or just sits on the desk mocking you. And here's why. Because the system assumed you could predict your energy. The system didn't account for interruptions, rest, or regulation. And it treated time as a factory, not a rhythm. It's not about finding your perfect planning tool. It's about finding support that flexes with your capacity. And we're going to constantly come back to this. Capacity. Energy. Let's say something that no productivity guru is ever going to talk about. Sometimes you don't have enough time, and that's not your fault. So I'll often work with people who say, I just need better time management. If I was just better at managing my time, this would be done. But this is what you really need to ask yourself. What are you actually trying to fit in? What are you actually trying to accomplish? What would happen if we looked at that with compassion and not judgment? Feeling like, if I just had better time management, I would be XYZ. And here's what the truth is about this. Oftentimes, the person is trying to do the work of three people. You're managing unpaid emotional labor, caregiving, or chronic health, and or you're navigating executive dysfunction and holding shame for not, quote unquote, keeping up. And no color-coded calendar can fix that. Creating systems that acknowledge your life and the true capacity and rhythms of your life, those can help. So here's a way to think of it a little differently. You're not bad at time. You're in a life that asks too much, too often, without giving you space to breathe. So I just want to take a second to lovingly roast some of the time advice I see online. And my intention is never to roast or take away what people's experiences are, because they're all valid. Every experience is valid. But I do think that there could be some potential harm in some of the advice that we see online for those of us who think and function a little differently, because it creates this feeling of failure and feeling behind and shame. So things like, wake up at 5 a.m. and do your most important task first. Never check email first thing. Time block every hour of your day. Cool, you can wake up at 5 a.m. and do your most important task first. But some people really don't start functioning well until noon. And that is totally valid. I know for myself, well, I don't get up at 5 a.m. because that's too early. And I only get up at the time that I do right now because my puppy walks all over me. And she's like, all right, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. But I know I'm more productive right when I get up in the morning. So if I want to exercise, if I want to clean, if I want to do something, I have to do it in that first part of the day. The moment I have to do something else that is not like on my list or something that I need to do, it's just not going to happen. And at a certain point, I'm just not able to get started. And for some brains, trying to create time blocks in every hour of your day and blocking your calendar and scheduling every moment you're awake, for some people, that just creates way more friction than freedom. There's a way to find a nice blend of structure yet flexibility. So when you're time blocking everything, you're creating that friction. And then you almost feel like you're trying to rebel against your own plan. You were the one who enacted it. And you might even hear and see, oh, you have the same 24 hours a day as Taylor Swift. Nope, you don't. She has a staff, support, and a different life structure. And what's missing from most of this advice is nuance. And more importantly, acknowledgement of different nervous systems, access levels, and support needs. Great. So what are we doing about it? What can we do about it? What do we do about it? Here are some shifts. Use time landmarks instead of time blocks. So don't schedule like at 12:30, I'm going to go do XYZ. Anchor your day around a few key transition points. Before lunch, I'll do one focus task. After my call, I'll take a 15-minute break. Anchor it to the action, not the time. And anchor it to something that is dependable for the day, that you know is going to happen during the day. And it works really well for people who are time blind. And time blindness is more that there's a lack of awareness around the time that passes or how much time it takes to do things, things like that. Plan for capacity, not just the tasks. So sometimes you could have one email, but that email feels like it takes so much energy because maybe it's a little complicated. Maybe there's a fear of writing the email. Maybe there's a fear of the response. Think about that capacity rather than just the task itself. How much energy does this take? Not just how long will this take. Something I say a lot when I'm working with clients, specifically when they're writing emails, is because we're spending a lot of time on it, which is okay because it's taking a lot of energy and that's fine. But a good reminder is you are thinking about what you're writing way more than they're going to read it. And that's not because they don't care to read it. It's because, one, everyone's perspectives are different. But also maybe you're asking a question, maybe you're scheduling something, maybe you're like, cool, that's great. I really like that idea. Let's do whatever. You're spending a lot of energy and a lot of your capacity to respond and reply when really they're just looking for that key takeaway. Create flexible scaffolding. So that's something like creating like a menu style to-do list for the week. So you know on a menu, you've got like appetizers, entrees, dessert, drinks. So think of your to-do list of things I can do when I'm focused, things I could do when I'm tired, things I can delegate or delay, because then it allows you to meet yourself where you are. So a great example of this is maybe I'm creating a plan for a workshop or something. That takes a little bit more energy, a little bit more focus, because I need to think about what my point is and what I want to touch on in the presentation. Maybe when I'm creating the presentation, at least this is just a me thing, in Canva or on PowerPoint, because I have the outline already, those are things that I can do when I'm tired, because I'm just inputting the information into the slideshow and making it look a little pretty, maybe adding a picture here and there. So that's something I can do when I'm tired. Build in more white space than you think you need. So white space is like when you look at your calendar and you've got the whole week layout. Where is there open space? Where's that white? And the white space should never be just when you're sleeping. You should have more white space throughout your day. So create more white space than you think that you need. Remember that time is a container. And when it's overstuffed, when it's full, things will break. Empty space is not wasted. It's what makes your system sustainable. So when you build in more white space, you give yourself more time, because you're acknowledging that things might flow over. You're acknowledging that your energy is going to shift, that your capacity is going to shift, but you still have the space to do the things that you need to do in those white spaces. So as you move through this week, I want to invite you to stop blaming yourself for how time feels. It is not about getting up earlier, being more productive, or checking more things off your list. It's about recognizing that you live in a system and that your needs matter in how you navigate it. Your relationship with time doesn't have to be perfect. It can be spacious. It can be supportive. It can be realistic. And most importantly, it can be yours. If you found this helpful, feel free to share the episode or take a screenshot and tag me with one thing you're letting go of when it comes to time pressure. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, you're not behind. You're navigating a life that deserves support. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. If something from today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It helps more people find the support they deserve. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.